All right, so there's a little short sugya over here before we get to the period in the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to discuss the Mumar Lava, this Kechav, and we'll move our Chal Shabbos for Hesia. But before we get there, the Gemara is trying to bring a proof to Rava. Again, now Rava is discussing a Mumar Oichon Neves L'Teyoven. Who's that? It's a guy who can't control his desires to eat treif meat. Can it be trusted to do Shkita? So Rava said, if you check the knife, you know, it's not going to cost him anything. He'll use a kosher knife. He'll probably do the shkita correctly. Why not? Lama shavei keter b'avad isura. Fine, we can trust him. As long as we know the knife is kosher. So lemim sayego, he says, Gemara Dalam Beis, let's bring a proof to this. Hakol shechten. Everyone can shech b'afilu kusi, right? Those Jews who weren't that committed or that were suspicious of being uncommitted. B'afilu arel, or a person who hasn't had a bris mila. B'afilu yisrael mumar, or yisrael mumar. So, hi, Orel Hechi Domi. So, all of these are valid candidates to perform Shechita. How do you, what kind of situation are we discussing with regards to the Orel, the person who didn't have a bris mila? Ilei meshamesu achiv machmas mila. If we'll say we're talking about a situation where his brothers died because of bris mila. And if you look over here, the Gemara says, Mesechus Yevamis, Samadar Mabez, once you have a few deaths in the family, not like how many, but once you have a few deaths in the family, Machmas Mila, we no longer perform Mila. Why not? Remember, why not? Anybody know? Why not? How come after you have one, two, three, one? Chazak of what? Sakana. Of what type of sakana are we concerned with? Huh? Obviously, hemophilia, right? The blood wasn't clotting. So the blood, what we would call hemophilia, they weren't aware of that. That term didn't exist in the times of the Gemara, but they were concerned with hemophilia. That's why it says in the Shulchan Aruch, this is only if they have the same mother. If they have the same father. Then just because one brother died doesn't necessarily mean the other brother will die. And they were aware that hemophilia, a lack of ability to have a blood clot, was a recessive gene that was passed on by the mother. It's a X chromosome recessive gene. So fine, so it goes together with the mother, not with the father. So the fact says in Shulchan Aruch, by the fact they have the same mother, it's a machlokes in the Shulchan Aruch. The opinion that corresponds with that, which it says in the halacha, in the science books, is that it's an X chromosomal, gene, and therefore it should only go together with the mother. But once you have a few deaths in the family, you have to be concerned that there's hemophilia in the family, and won't be able to perform bris mila. Nowadays, we have every few years we have a few hemophilia in yeshiva. It's not publicized, but it can be dangerous. So you have to walk around with a pen. Why is the blood not clot? Because they're missing one of the factors. There's clotting factors in the blood. So you can carry around an injection that it's very dangerous. You bump into something, get a bruise inside. Our blood will clot and form a bruise. But hemophilia could have a serious problem. It'll continue to expand and expand. So they have like an EpiPen, but they have or an allergy pen. They have a pen with a clotting factor. So you can inject yourself with a clotting factor, and then it'll be, the blood should clot normally. Factor 5 or something. So, but you have it in everyone rarely, but if you have a child who has a clotting disorder, you can typically inject the child with a clotting factor and then perform bris mila as you would on any other baby. Now, they're not going to do it in a shul, do it in a hospital with the kosher mila, mila can be done. But in times of the world, it wasn't possible. So let's say there's a mesu echov machmas mila. You have already a few children that passed away in the family. They all share the same mother. We have to be concerned with hemophilia. Okay, so we're not going to perform a bris mila. So how is Yisrael Ma'al? So then why can't he perform shkita? He's a good Jew. What do we want from him? Erab shita noinis. He can't perform mila. Erab shita, no, we must be talking about a mumar larelus. It's a person who we've warned repeatedly. Do a bris mila, do a bris mila. Obviously, bris mila, the mitzvah is supposed to be done on the eighth day, but it lasts a person's entire life. If he hasn't done it on the eighth day, he has to do it at some point later in his life. So, mumar larelus, we're talking about a person. We've warned him repeatedly to do bris mila, and he hasn't listened. There's no good, legitimate reason why he's not doing it. So 1 second, so let's go back and just read it back in. So, kol shechten v'afilu kusi v'afilu arel, that's a mumar ledavar echad. That's a mumar, regular mumar. He can perform bris mila, vafil yisrael mumar. So then who's the yisrael mumar? If an Ariel is a mumar for one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, let's say he does all the other mitzvahs, this bris mitzvah, bris mila, he got caught up with the new left society. He believes it's barbaric, whatever. Okay, he's not going to do bris mila. Okay, but everything else he keeps. This is the one thing he finds distasteful. So can he perform shkita? Yes, he can. So then who's the Yisrael Mumar? So that's what the Gemara says. So then who's the Yisrael Mumar? Must be a Mumar Lechon Nevel Satei Oven. He, you know, has a problem, not with Arelos, not with Bishmilon, because he thinks it's barbaric, but rather he has a problem with eating kosher food. And nonetheless, Ishkita is kosher. Upshita Mumar Aleros V'kasava Mumar L'davar Echol Lo Havi Mumar. Don't you see from here that a mumah with davar echad is not considered to be a mumah l'kol Torah kula? So a mumah l'arelus is okay for shkita, and therefore a mumah achol and nevel s'teyoven is also okay for shkita. But then aim a seifa, v'afil yisrael mumah, hai mumah, heki dami. So who's this yisrael mumah? E mumah l'davar acher, if it's a, let's say maybe he has a problem with chametz on Pesach. Why? If that's, if then he's no different than a mumah l'arelus. Why would you mention a mumah? And why is it not mentioned? Which aveir he has a problem with? Hainu mumah l'arelus is exactly the same as a mumah l'arelus and la mumah l'osa davar. So mumah alecho nevel satei oven u'kidir rava. And nonetheless, we hold like Rava that once you check the knife, as long as you check the knife, we can presume the shita he does is kosher. No. Perhaps there's no proof to hear from Rava. Mumah l'osa davar loy. You can have a mumah l'davar acher. That's fine. That guy's a mumah l'arelus, he can do shchita. He doesn't have a problem with eating kosher. He's very machbid about eating kosher. He has a problem with, he thinks the meal is barbaric. Or he has a problem with, Tzom Gedalia. I knew this guy, one guy. Mom is a crazy guy. Tzom Gedalia, he could not fast. He couldn't bring himself. Who is this Gedalia? I don't know anything about him. Why am I fasting? Okay, fine. I knew a guy like that, crazy guy. So fine, from guy, this Gedalia ben Achikam mamish, he couldn't handle it. So he explained it to him, couldn't handle it. After Rosh Hashanah, what? Fine. So okay, it's a problem with Toim Gedalia. He can't handle Toim Gedalia. So what does that have to say about his kosher food? Why can't he be trusted with regards to kosher food? He's mocked about kosher food. So if you want to say, no, anybody who's unreligious in any one area can't be trusted in another area, that's fine. But the Gemara has already proved Mumar L'Arelus is kosher l'shkita. So if a Mumar L'Arelus is kosher for shkita, and it's not talking about Mesuach or Machmas Milo, there's the deaths in the family. Then he's an Oinus. What do we want from him? Must be he's a Mumar L'Arelus. He has a problem. He thinks it's barbaric. So if that's the case, this guy doesn't understand Gedalia ben Achikam. So why can't we trust his shkita either? So then that should have been the same, should be true with regards to Mumar, Lechon Nevel Satayoven. No, one could say Mumar Lechon Nevel Satayoven. He has a problem with this mitzvah. He has a problem with kosher food. The guy's beef jerky at the pit stops on the road. What do they call those things? You know, along the road at the rest stops, the guy's stopping. He's eating beef jerky with no hashgacha. Now they make beef jerky with hashgacha. There's never such a thing. It was like the epitome of tapas. So fine, a guy is sitting there, he's eating a tray for meat. And now, but it comes to the shlachta house, we're going to say, you know, is this kosher? Yes, it's kosher. How can we trust you? You just finished, you hasn't benched yet on the beef jerky. So how can we trust him? So maybe a mumah lechon nevel satayoven is worse than a mumah l'arelos. It's worse than a mumah l'gedali ben achikam. It's worse than, you know, mumah l'chameit. It's worse. The Gemara says, you're right, it's worse. Mumalosadavar is no good. That's the place, you know, where he has a problem. My time became into Doshbe, Keterbe, Dummy. Since the guy is rugged to eat tray for food, he's not gonna, the whole thing doesn't mean anything to him. So then who is the Mumar? Let's go back to the statement that we quoted initially. Even a Mumar L'Arelus is okay, fine. He's a Mumar for something else. He could be trusted with regards to a different area of Halacha. So then who's a Mumar L'Davar Echad? Who's a Mumar L'Davar Echad? That's no different than a Mumar L'Arelus, says the Gemara. No, we're talking about a Mumar L'Avodah Kechav and Mukhud Rav Anan. It's a Mumar for Avodah Zarah. Oh, Avodah Zarah might have thought is worse. Oh, you have a problem with other religions. It's a little bit different than, Gedalia ben Achikam. Mukhud Rav Anan, the Omer Rav Anan, Omer Shmuel, Yisrael Mumar L'Avodah Kechav and Mutar Lechom Mishchitos. And it's following that one opinion of Rav Anan, which we're going to now analyze independently, whether or not the Mumar for Avodah Kechavim is treated like a Mumar in one area of Halacha, or perhaps Mumar L'Avodah Zarah, the guy's a problem, you know, with other religions, is like, that's a little bit more fundamental, and he is like a Mumar L'Koa Torah Kula, like a person who's Mechal Shabbos before Hesed, which we're going to discuss also. Okay, so maybe a Mumar L'Avodah Zarah is different than a Mumar for any other Avera. Okay, so the Gemara tried to bring a proof to Rava, wasn't able to successfully bring a proof to Rava. But what do you see from the whole discussion, by the way, parenthetically? You see that the Gemara compared a Mumar in one area of Halacha to a Mumar in the area of Echol Nevel Sotayoven when it comes to Shechita. That's the opinion of Rava. Rava says, right, you have to check the knife. Once you check the knife, he's kosher. But at least you have to check the knife. What about a Mumar for Arelos? What about a Mumar for chametz? What about a mumar for kriyas hamigila? Or a mumar when it comes to shatnez? The guy said, I'm not checking my suits. I don't care about this wool linen business. I don't understand it. I'm not doing it. Can we trust the shkita? So it sounds like, Rava said, even when it's in that area, you can trust the shkita as long as you check the knife. What if he's a mumar l'shatnez? Can I trust the shkita? Of course you can. But do you have to check the knife or not? That's not clear from the Gemara. But from the, is that like a mumar lechon avelos? So maybe only when he's a mumar lechon avelos, I have to check the knife. If he's a mumar in another area, he's fine Jew in this area. You know, people are able to compartmentalize. So what does that have to do with the fact that he doesn't check for shanes? Maybe I don't even have to check the knife. So if you look in the rush, if you brought the Gemara, I'm sorry, I didn't put on the sheet. I'm not going to dwell on that length. But it's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, so that's why it's important to know that. It doesn't come up all that often. But the rush at the Perek Aleph, Simen Zayin, at the end of Simen Zayin, on page Hey, and at least in my edition of the rush. So in the first of the narrow lines, right next to Hagos Hashri, and Simen Zayin, the second Hagos Hashri in Simen Zayin, on the left, he says, the Dafka Vayim Lo'oysa Dover the Dashbe. That's the only time the Kama Rav the Boy Bedika Sakin. The only time you need a Bedika Sakin is when you're talking about he's a Muma Lechon Avelos L'Tayoven. Says that area of Halacha itself where he has his weakness, he got to check the knife. Yeah, it's true. He's not going to, why would he shecht improperly when it won't cost him anything to shecht properly? He's not going to bother himself to get a different knife. So if you check the knife, it's fine. But in a mumar l'shatnez, a mumar for chametz, a mumar for arelos, I don't even have to bother checking the knife. He's entirely believable. The Rambam says no. A Rambam kasa from the fact that the Gemara here compares a mumar arelos to a mumar lechon avelos l'teyoven. Rambam kasa of the Yisrael avarim la'achs min averus tarach livdek loisakin. The Rambam says just like a mumar lechon avelos l'teyoven, you have to check the knife. So to a mumar for other averus, you have to check the knife. Again, the guy who just wears wool and linen, why would he bother shechting improperly if it won't cost him anything to shech properly? But he's not going to bother himself to get a new knife. The Rambam feels if you're weak in one area of halacha, that undermines your real commitment to every area of halacha. There's a big mussar here. But the Yisrael Avayim Ma'achas and Averus, if he eats tray for food in the Wendy's and the Burger King, Tzarech Livdek Leisak. So then for sure you have to check the knife, but even if he's just a mumal for shatnez, you have to check the knife too. So says the Rosh, just an explanation of the Rambam, but after the Savar, Kevin de Chazin and Shulatavosoi, Oiver Achaz Menaver, since he can't control his tivus in one area, Chayshinon de Pokar, Shaloi, Litroyach, Lekayim, Shum, Mitzvah Kilchasa. You can't control your desires. So, as well as Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Kayin, Elecha teshuk asoy v'ata tim shoboy, you can rule over the Yetzara, but if you don't try, you don't put in the effort, or it rules over you in one area, then it rules over you perhaps in every area. So if your desires have overcome you in one area, so then we're afraid in every area. You can't be trusted, at least somewhat, right? Why would you shove a keter of Avadi Surah? I'm not going to do an Issa for no reason, but go after a kosher knife. The guy's not going to be an Erlich Yid in one area of Halacha if he's Mamish or Poritz in another area of Halacha. Okay, that's the Rambam. The other opinion of the Rosh and other Rishonim, Roiva Rishonim, is no. People can entirely decompartmentalize their lives. We see this, right? Guy could be Mamish Kegoy in one area, but when it comes to another area, the guy's as firm as anything, right? Business is business, personal is personal. The two things, a guy could be a ganif meforsam, but at the same time, when it comes to, psicha for Geshem, there he is, That's the way things go, all right. So that's Roiv HaRishonim. The Rambam feels, no, this must be some overlap. The guy can't control his typhus in one area, you got to check his knife when it comes to a different area. Okay, fine. It's two opinions in Shulchan Aruch, how we should pass him. Fine. But let's just take a second to analyze, a little bit more than a second, but who is this Mumar La'arelus? So the Gemara said, it can't be a person whose children died machmas milo. The guy's a kosher yid. He's an oinus. What do we want from him? Right? His family died. We have to give up. Okay. That's what the Gemara says then. He's not considered to be an orel. Does that mean that he's exempt his entire life? Because mesu achav machmas milo? Or he has like a temporary dispensation till, the guy gets a little bit stronger, he comes back to himself. Again, they didn't know this was a genetic disorder. It wasn't going to change the rest of your life. They thought this might have been some, temporary predicament. But maybe you'll heal later on. So is this a permanent patur, or is this only some sort of temporary exemption? So look over here at Taisus. He seems to have two opinions about this. Taisus says, Shemesu echav machmas mila, shenimoylu kishahen gedoylem, umesu. Now, that's not the typical case, right? Most people, if they're going to die machmas mila, when would it be? On day 8. So we're talking about, which is, again, is not typical, these, I guess, a whole family of Baalei Teshuva. We did mila on two of them, and they didn't make it. Comes to the third, we say, maybe not. If we're talking about this happened on the 8th day, maybe because the blood had not been absorbed yet into the body, that's why it didn't clot. That's this medical assessment. But if you wait till the child will get older later and stronger, and his blood is fully circulating, maybe the blood will clot. Kedaminim Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara says Masechet Shabbos. It takes a few days for the blood to absorb into the body. Okay. Inami. So what was it? So the first opinion of Taisus is this is an exemption for life, but only if the first two brothers who died Machmas Mila happened when they were adults. If it happened when they were children, that doesn't exempt the other third brother when he becomes an adult. Maybe when he becomes an adult, he'll become healthier. So it's a temporary exemption. When he gets older, he has to try again. Inami, I feel this meaning, even if the first two brothers died on the 8th day, we see that these are healthy babies, and nonetheless they died, this guy is exempt for life. He doesn't have to try at some point later on. He's exempt for life. So two pshatim we have. What are we talking about that he's exempt? Is he exempt for life? Even if his brothers died on day 8, that's one opinion of Tarsus. The other opinion of Tarsus is no. If his brothers died on day 8, he's not exempt for life. He's got to try when he gets older and stronger. If they died when they were adults, which is, again, not the usual case. How many times you have a whole family coming for bris milah all at once when they're all adults? It's a little strange. Most people have a bris milah on the 8th day, even if they're not that religious. Okay, but you have a whole family coming for bris milah. When they're adults, two died, the third is potter for life because the other two died as adults. But if the other two died as children, he has to try sometime later on in life. The Ritva is not happy with this first opinion in Taisus. He says, what is he talking about? You have to try later on in life? What? Two of your brothers died on day 8. So the parents said, we're not doing the third. Understandably. What happens when he gets his 20th birthday? Okay, now we say, okay, been long enough. Let's try now. Well, do we do that or not? So the first opinion Taisus says, yes. Second opinion Taisus says, no, you're putter for life. The Ritva is not happy that there's even one opinion that you have to try bris milah later on. Says the Ritva over here. Hey, kidami, let me show Mesu Acham Machmas Mila Yisrael Ma'aliyah, who perish? Who is this Mesu Acham Machmas Mila? The Anasu? Machmas Asakana. The two brothers died. So he's an Inus. What do we want him to do? It's too dangerous. Vyesha Pirisha Betaisis, the Marisha Mesu Acham Machmas Mila, Shinimok Shane Gedoyle, and Vinimba Behendam. There are those that say the only time the third brother is exempt is if the first two died as adults. The Ikishain Katanim, if they died as children, the Haila Zelah Hoshalkaf. What is he so afraid of? Valesa, that's not true. Midanakale Tamudistan, the Gemara in Yavamis that we see on Sabbath Adam Abbas who discuss the Mesu Achamel Machmas Mila never stipulates or never throws in the condition. By the way, this is only if they died as adults. If they died as children, that doesn't exempt the third brother for life, only till he gets a little bit stronger. What? Valesa Midanakale Tamudistan, Vatam de Kosha Mesu Achamachmas Mila, Malcolm Yirahu, Lukaladam. The guy's afraid, and legitimately so. It's not that he stumped his toe and he thinks it's he's going to die, right? Let's say a guy stubs his toe and he thinks he's going to die. So he calls Hatzalah. He says, take me to the, what we say, well, what happened? I stubbed my toe. What? Come on. It's ridiculous. So you're afraid unnecessarily so. We would not violate Shabbos for such a chashash. It's ridiculous. Even though you might find every once in a while, right, man inquirer, man stubs toe and dies, right? I guess you could have such a thing in the National Enquirer as you're checking out from your supermarket. But that's not certainly something that is absolutely rare. We would not violate Shabbos for such a far-fetched chashash. This is not far-fetched at all, right? The guy's every right to be afraid. Yirahu l'chol adam. Everyone will be afraid. Even though the first two died as ketanim, he's a gadol. He has to be afraid. Shein lo hamshir. Who knows? Maybe he'll die too. V'chol sheyesham tzad yira upachad. Anytime the guy's a legitimate source of fear, not that he's neurotic beyond where he has a psychosis. No, he's not. He's not. What do they call that? A guy, a hypo, you know, neurotic hypochondriac. It's not that he believes that. The guy's a legitimate fear. Ain't no need on kumumakal. No. Then even if they died as children, he is butter his entire life. Tysus, though, had another opinion that in such a situation you got to wait till later in life and then try again. Tysus' second opinion is like the Ritva, that we don't distinguish. Even if the first two died as children, the third is potter later on in life. He's potter for life because there's some fear here. But the first opinion, Tysus, was you have to do it later on. And that seems to be the opinion of the Rambam. The opinion of the Ritva did not like seems to be the opinion of the Rambam. It is the opinion of the Rambam. It doesn't seem to be. It is. Says the Rambam, Paragraph, Chasmi, Loch Yireches. Famous position of the Rambam. Ish shemoga benar ishin. Umeis machmas milah, the first child died, nebuch, le'elenum, for milah. Shech shilah es karchoi. V'chein moas hasheni umeis machmas milah. They did it again. Meis machmas milah. Bein mi baila rishin, bein mi baila hasheni. Again, it all depends on the mother. It doesn't depend on the father. So as long as they have the same mother, it's an X chromosomal gene. That much they knew. So then, Hareza Loyimo Sashlishi Bismano. You don't do the bris. Bismanoi! On day 8. What do you do? The Ritva would have said, send them packing, say, Rabbi, you know, Rabbi, there's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. One of them you're not going to get to. 612 for you. Right? And there's 612. You know, in the Kol, they take Bechinas. I think a Reshefta still writes the test. In my time, he used to grade the test too. He used to correct spelling. If you misspell the word, it drove him nuts. He used to correct the spelling. Then after my time, I don't think he grades the test anymore. But I remember once, people would study their guts after these tests. But Reshefta's questions were not, you know, there were 10 black Marashi Tysis. That's the Kol. 4 tests a year, 10 black Marashi Tysis. And guys would really study. In those days, there was no other options. It was Reshefta's Kol or nothing. Now we have so many options for everybody, but in those days, there was nothing else. So, and guys, if you were in a Reshefta Shir, you know how he thought and how he asked questions and how he, you know, what he liked to talk about, what he didn't like to talk about, he could probably predict. So there were, before the test, people would write out test, you know, sample questions and see how many we could guess that he would ask. Because we knew what he would be interested in talking about. But the guys who were not in his shir, which was, I would say, you know, 3/4 of the kol, were not never in his shir, they didn't know what he was going to ask. So you had guys from other shir, they were totally lost, never. So guys studied, smart guys studied, Gemara, Rashi, Tosis, poured over, and came to the test. He's like, well, he didn't know where did these questions come from? So Reshefta would pick out one line in the Tosis and the Marsha has a comment on it, which is a famous thing. So he would ask about it in other shiurim. They didn't talk about it. So one time I remember, I was sitting with him in the front of the Beis Medrash, and a guy came over to him and he says, yeah, he's like, where is this question? Where is this coming from? The guy was like almost in tears. It's terrible. So Reshefta looked at him, he's like, well, you know what? You're right. I don't think it's in these 10 blocks. He said, but it was always 10 out of 13. He's like, well, there's another 12 questions. You'll be fine. I was like, that's not fair. He's like, really not fair. Anyway, okay. Fine, so the 613 mitzvahs, this guy only has 612. That's what I would have said, right? That's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, look at me a second line. The Rambam says, El mamtina lo ad sheyigdo. We wait for him to get older, stronger. Let him get stronger. And then try Mila again. Wow. So Ram's opinion is, you're not potter for life. The Ram passing is like our first position in Tosfos over here. The only time the guy's potter for life is if his brothers did it as adults. Then we can presume, we can project, you know, it's too dangerous for him. But if it happened to them as children, let's wait for the guy to get stronger and we'll try it again. Wow. And that's perhaps what the Rambam means. He continues. The Rambam writes, "Ein malin elavlad shein bo shum chayli." Now the Rambam goes to the other extreme. He says, "There's no milah for a child that has any trace of a chayli." That's why the child is a little yellow. You know, our children are yellow when they're born. Most children are yellow. They're called jaundice. Is because it takes time for the liver to kick in once the baby is born. It doesn't start functioning right away, and the liver is critical to break down certain toxins in the body called free radicals. So it's supposed to break it down. That's what the liver does. If it doesn't break it down, so then the levels of these in the body continue to rise, what they call bilirubin. So that's measured in the body. There's a healthy level of bilirubin, and then there's could be elevated levels of bilirubin because the liver, which is an indication, the liver is not functioning yet. So Moelim will only perform a bris milah. They have some sort of mesira or something. They will only perform a bris milah with a bilirubin level of 12 or below. If it's above 12, they won't perform a bris milah. Rabbi Temla used to make fun of it. He said, "Ask the Maya, what is Billy Reuben?" He said, "It's Chaim Reuben's brother, Billy Reuben." Anyway, he said, "They have no idea what Billy Reuben is or what the level means, whatever." Itamar used to make fun of him. Because he says there's two, you know, if the liver takes time for the liver to kick in. So the fact that the bilirubin is above 12 doesn't necessarily indicate this. It might indicate there's a problem. You should talk to the doctor. He said the Mayim shouldn't make these, you know, haphazard rules. But that's what the Mayim do. I never, he was a Tendler was mocked, but oh, even if his bilirubin is level 13, if the child is healthy, we should do the bismillah. I never push people to do a bismillah early. You want to push it off, push it off. Why? Because Eimalin Elavwacha Eimbo Shum Chayli. Says the Rambam, any trace of a Chayli at all, someone thinks he's sick, whatever, push off the bismillah. Why? She Sakonis Nefashas Dechas Akal, Sakonis Nefashas pushes off everything. And this is the important line over here. Ve'efshar Limo Lacharzman, you can always do the bismillah later. Ve'efshar Lahachzir Nefesh Achas Mi'Israel Li'olam. Right. If something goes wrong, you can never take it back. You could always push the bismillah off a week or two and do it later. All right. Why does the Rambam need this reason? What if I can't do a bismillah later on? What does the Rambam say? Push it off because it's dangerous. And you could always do a bismillah later on. You can't return someone's life if you make a mistake. What if I'll never be able to do it? What if the guy is sick in such a way that we'll never be able to do a bris milah? What does the Rambam imply? You have to do it, even though it's what? A shtickle dangerous. What did the Rambam say? Don't do a bris milah if there's any kind of danger. Why? You can always do it later. What if I can't do it later? Says the Avnei Nezer, it sounds like from this Rambam, if you can't do it later because you're going to be because there'll always be some sort of nagging sakana, well, then you got to bite the bullet at some point and try it. That's what it sounds like from the Rambam. Just reading the Rambam honestly. We don't want him to say this. We'd rather him be cautious, but that's not what the Rambam seems to say. The Rambam says, "V'efshar limo lacharzman," therefore, push it off. What if you can't do it? What if you're going to continuously push it off his whole life because there's always going to be a sakana? Because mesu'acha makamas mila. Then the Rambam seems to say, you got to at some point, you got to try it. So that's what the Rambam is over here, you know, is consistent when the Rambam said, even though Mesu Achim Achim Zilos children, we got to try it sometime later on in his life. Kishi Yizgadov is Chazik Kocho. And unfortunately, that's the way we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, Simmer Reisham, and Gimel Siv Beis. Unfortunately, it's too strong. But that's the position of the Rambam. Isha Shemal Benar, Rishon Umeis, Machmas Mila, as children. Says the Shulchan Aruch, second line. You wait till they get older, get stronger, and try Mila now. So Piskei Tshuva quotes from Noida Yehuda. He said, if the Rambam had not said this, you know, Ilulei Divrei Rambam, he would argue that this is totally incorrect. How can you do a bris mila? There's a suffix sakana here. The children died, machmas mila. Yes, it was on the eighth day, but he passes like the Ritva. The other opinion in the Tosfos. If there's any kind of sakana at all, push it off forever. Why are we waiting until the child gets older and now trying to do it? So obviously it doesn't mean that there was a real sakana. If there was a real sakana, of course it would be pushed off. What it means is there was some far-fetched sakana. They didn't know what would happen. It wasn't a real sakana, it was far-fetched. But if you're going to push off the meal for a far-fetched sakana your whole life, the Rambam feels at some point you got to try it. So you wait till he's got the vizchaz ha-karcha and then try it. Of course, in our times, we wouldn't do this. We know it's not a suffix sakana. We know it's a vada sakana. So then we wouldn't recommend it either. But they were talking about it. They thought it was a suffix sakana. Then you'd have said, I would have said even for a far-fetched sakana, do away with the whole mitzvah. But that's not what the Rambam seems to say. The Rambam seems to say that the only time push off the meal his entire life as if the other two brothers died as adults. If they died as children, it's only a suffix sakana. What's going to work? Far-fetched sakana. When the person gets older, so then at some point you should really try and do the bris milah. That's the opinion of the Rambam. The Noda Yehuda says had the Rambam not said this, he would have disagreed, and we typically passing like the Noda Yehuda. So the Or Sameach already makes the point that this position of the Rambam depends on our two opinions in Tosfos. Look back at the Or Sameach in the brackets of his Gimel. He says, "Afi zeh hada amru de mesu akum machmas milah kasher lishkait." That which we said, a person who's mesu akum machmas milah is kosher to do shkita, v'chen gabi avoid this kachem, he can do karbonis. That must be talking about where his brothers died as adults. Who kishamesu achav, kishanimo, kishen gedolim, v'chen pirshu b'taisvis. That's what, so the Rambam must subscribe to our first opinion in Taisvis, the Rambam. is following one opinion, that Rabbi Yehuda would be following the other opinion. It's a machlokes rishonim. That's the point of the Aras HaMeach. What does this machlokes rishonim depend upon? So, Itzel Petterberger was one of the main talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. But he wrote Chuvis sefer called Pri Yitzchak. They're not Chuvis like Rabbi Moshe's Chuvis. They're Chuvis that are simanim in learning. So over there, the Pri Yitzchak claims that this Machlekes Rishonim is contingent upon a different Machlekes Rishonim, which we'll have to understand also. But he claims it depends upon the Machlekes Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, which is quoted both in Tosfos Himsachim and in Tosfos Chagiga. There the Gemara says, Areilim are exempt from certain mitzvahs. Or they can't perform a certain mitzvah. What is one mitzvah that an Ariel can't perform? Anybody know one mitzvah an Ariel can't perform? The one that everyone should know is Korban Pesach. Right? The Pesach says in Parshas Boy, Ko Ariel lo yoichal bo. Can't eat Korban Pesach if you're an Ariel, even if one's children is an Ariel. Right? Your whole family can't be Arielim. If one person's child is an Ariel, he's not allowed to eat Korban Pesach. That's why Klal Yisrael didn't bring Korban Pesach on the travels throughout the Midbar. It was too dangerous to do Bris Mila, so none of them were all Arelim. That's one opinion in the Mishainim. So since they were all Arelim, none of them brought Korban Pesach. You can't bring Korban Pesach if you're an Arel. Another one, which is less known, is the Gemara says in Chagiga and Daf Dalet, you can't do, you can't be Olarego if you're an Arel. All right, based on Xeris Shava. Okay. Few halachas an Arel is exempt from. Who's an Arel? Yeah, Benji, what do you want to say?
He could be a Mohel.
Who?
An Ariel. Could he be a Mohel for other people?
That's a good question. Well, the question is, why is he an Ariel? If he's an Ariel because he's a Muma, because he's Mesuach or Machmas Miwa, then presumably yes. If he's an Ariel because he's a Muma Marelos, that's a big Machlek, because the Ramah says no, he can't be a Mohel, which comes up, by the way, right? Let's say you have a Jewish doctor, but he's not religious. But he's a Muma Larelis. Can he do Bris Mila in the hospital? And he did a circumcision on a child in the hospital because he had a Kosher Mila. And Ramah says no. Rabbi Kivager disagrees, and Shulchan says yes. Happens. It happens rarely, but it happens. Machlok is Ramah, Rabbi Kivager. Anyway, but let's get back over here. So a person is an Ariel, can't eat Korban Pesach, can't do Olarego. Who's an Ariel? Well, it means a person who hasn't had Bris Mila, Shkrech. But what about Mesu Achu Machmas Mila? He's not religious. He couldn't have it because of a medical reason. Can he eat Korban Pesach? Is he an Ariel? That he can't eat Korban Pesach? Or maybe we say, since he's an Onus, he's not an Ariel either. He can eat Korban Pesach. He can come and be Olarego. So Rashi says, even if it's an Onus, Mesu Acham Machmas Mila, you're an Ariel, you can't eat Korban Pesach. Wow. That's not nice. And Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Consistently throughout Shas, Big Machlekes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, who's an Ariel? Who's exempt from these halachas that are limited to an Ariel? Is it even Mesov Achmas Machmas Mila? He didn't do anything wrong. His brother's died. It's too dangerous for him. Rashi says, too bad. You're still excluded. Rabbeinu Tam says, no. He's talking about a guy who just doesn't like Mila. It's barbaric. What are you doing? You're mutilating a little child for? Whatever. He doesn't want to get involved in it. So he says, that's right. Rabbeinu Tam says, then you're an Ariel, you can't eat Korban Pesach. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos Chagiga quotes it, Aval Rabbeinu Tam, the Mefarsh Doeg, Machmas Hatzar. The guy doesn't like the pain. It's not dangerous. Aval Mesu, Acha, Machmas Mila, Havioinus, of course he can eat Korban Pesach. Okay, Machlek is Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Can a person who's Mesu, Acha, Machmas Mila eat Korban Pesach or not? Rashi says, no. Rabbeinu Tam says, yes. Says if it's a Petterberger. Rav Yitzchak Blazer. He's the same author as the Koich Mayor, famous Musa Sefer. He was from Petterberg, so they called him Yitzchak Petterberger, but his real name was Blazer. So writes Rav Yitzchak Blazer in the Chuvis Pri Yitzchak that this depends on our two opinions in Tosfos. Because according to Rashi, even though you're an Oinus, there still is a mitzvah. Right? It's too dangerous. The mitzvah still applies to you. You can't fulfill it. But the mitzvah of Mila is still there. And it's like a thorn in your side. It's true, you can't do it. And we don't expect you to do it. You'd be foolish to do it. You'd be violating a different halacha in the Torah. But at the same time, unfortunately, it's a strike against you. Not that you're doing anything wrong, but the mitzvah is Mila is still there. According to Rabbeinu Tam, when there's pikuach nefesh, it's too dangerous, the mitzvah just does not apply to you anymore. That's it. You're an oinus. You're done. You're out. Goodbye. There's 612 mitzvahs as far as you're concerned. We'll see you later. That, says Avital Pathenberger, is really what our Tosis is arguing about over here. That's what the Rambam and the Ritva are arguing about. The Rambam feels a person is too, it's dangerous for him to do bris milah when his two brothers died as children. So try it later on in life. Why? Because the Rambam feels even though you're an oinus, even though it was dangerous when you were 8 years old, the mitzvah still exists there. So try later. The Ritva says, what are you trying? It's dangerous. It's over. Fartik, 612 mitzvahs for this individual. Move on. The Rambam says, we can't because the mitzvah is still there. Yes, it's true. It's too dangerous for you to perform it now. But maybe, again, we know this is not the case. But if you know, according to what they believe medically, that it was only far-fetched, concern later on. So try later on. Why are we trying later on? Because the Rambam feels the mitzvah is still there. That's what Rashi says. You're still in Oreo. No carbon Pesach. You can't do bris milah. You're right. There's nothing you can do about it. But the mitzvah is still there. Even though it's too dangerous, it's still there. Ben Tam holds, no, once it's too dangerous, the mitzvah is gone. The mitzvah doesn't exist by you anymore. And therefore, the Ritva felt, we don't have to try later on in life. The mitzvah doesn't exist for you. So what are you trying later on in life? It's over. Move on. 612 mitzvahs. Chavir, you here? I was literally tossing. Here. Yeah, what do you want to say, John?
Be dependent on like how time-bound meal is, whether it's like nitcha, kiyama nitcha, nitcha, it's like a specific time, then...
It's not a specific time.
It's supposed to be a day, but it's really a day and onward. So if someone holds that it's really time-bound to...
It's not time-bound. The Gemara even says it's not a time-bound mitzvah. That's why we need a special drasha to exempt women. Kasher tziva oso elu. Gimel, so below osa. Es taisis, why do I need a time-bound mitzvah? Taisis is not a time-bound mitzvah. I think, yeah, what do you want to say?
So, according to the Rambam, if somebody like everyone knows that they hear like these crazy cases. I'm just thinking, there's a guy at my shul who had a bris milah when he was 78.
Okay.
He thought he was going to die. He was like very sick. He thought he was going to pass away. His like mother was a Holocaust survivor. They grew up in Venezuela. Crazy story. And he wasn't sure if he was going to make it. So he said, if I die, I'm going to die like a Jew.
Whoa.
So he got a bris milah when he was 78.
Oh.
Now it's like 5 years later. He's like super healthy. Like comes to shul every morning. But like in his case, like according to Rabbeinu Tam, he wouldn't be able to get the bris milah, right? Because if the mitzvah is gone. Oh, wait, no.
That's if it's dangerous.
If it was dangerous.
John's point is correct. Bris milah applies even if you didn't get it when you were old, a child. You have to get it later on. There's no time limit.
If
it would be dangerous, that's the question. That's the question. That's what we're arguing about. Do we have to try at some point later on when the danger seems to have subsided? Now, we know, as an Odi Yehuda says, he's upset that Rambam ever said this because we don't think the danger ever subsides. But if in the time of the Gemara they thought, or in the Rishonim, that the danger would subside later on, so then, you know, it would get smaller later on. Obviously, it wasn't nothing. It would get smaller later, it's still a danger. But it would get smaller, so let's try later. The Ritva says, what are you trying later? There's a good reason. The guy's oinus. Go home. Why is the Rambam so adamant about trying later? Because he believes the mitzvah is still there. Mm-hmm. That's why Rashi said, even if it's dangerous, you're an Ariel. We love you. But you're an Ariel. You can't eat carbon Pesach. You can't come to the other regal. Or Ben Otav said, what are you talking about? There's no more mitzvah. He's an oinus. Could be all the regal. Have carbon Pesach. Potato bone. Yeah.
Well, this might not be so applicable, but how do we switch the other way in regard to, like, let's say Mila is doing the actual Mila is a sakana in general. Let's say, like I heard stories, like, in, like, the Holocaust when, like, they were, like, forbidden to do any acts or whatever it was. Like, Rabban were, like, hiding around, like, trying to go about, so why couldn't they just push it off until... Until it's not like a
Shasta
in that way.
I would never presume to question anything that happened right during the war, but I don't know. I don't know. Not recommended.
Does it happen on the eighth?
No.
That's what I thought. It's
like, it's supposed to happen. It's a mitzvah, special mitzvah to do it on the eighth day.
But it could. It's collapsed.
Sure. Chassidim push off almost every bris milah because they find something wrong. Chassidim shomayim. But the Amil Shkobas man is a big deal. According to the Ritva, the Ravid, every day you push off a bris, a chayiv karis. The Rambam holds you only chayiv karis at the end of your life if you didn't do bris milah once. The Ravid, the mitzvah is only to do it once. But if you didn't do bris milah, you only chayiv karis at the end of your life. The Ravid holds chayiv karis every day. It's like a compounding interest, right? Every day there's another chi of karis. It's actually a machlekes between in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah had a paskin. I don't know why it appears in Shulchan Aruch, but it does. Only chayiv karis at the end of your life, or every day there's a chiyuv karis. So it's clearly a big deal to push off a bris milah, even minutes and hours, right? You should do it as soon as possible. The reason why Dima Lamitzis, we do it as early as possible and pass the eighth day. Every minute, every hour that you push it off, the Dvar Avraham writes in the Tshuva, you're being Mavato Mitzvah, say the Sheish Bokaris. It's a heavy, heavy thing. At the same time, Lamaisa, you could do it later. So it says around, do it later. But what the Rishonim here are arguing about is when it's dangerous, does the Mitzvah even exist at all? According to Rashi and the Rambam, it does. That's why you're an Oriel. That's why the Rambam says try later on. According to Rabbeinu Tam and the Ritva, it doesn't apply to you anymore. Don't bother trying it, even though it's a little dangerous, and you don't have to try later on. And you're not an Oriel anymore. You can eat carbon Pesach all good. Yeah.
Why is it only based off father? Can a father like pass down the hemophiliac gene?
No. Father has passes on to a son a Y chromosome. The mother passes down the X chromosome. Men have XY, females have XX. So when you have a daughter, they both give an X. So then the father, you know, contributes an X gene to the daughter. When it's an XY, when they have a child, the father gives the Y chromosome, the mother gives the X chromosome. So it's an X chromosome linked gene. Father never passes on to his son the X chromosome. That's the extent of my knowledge of genetics. Anyway, but what is this machlekes rishonim depend upon? So I think there's two possibilities, both global issues. The first is, Rabbi Yochanan suggests that this machlekes rishonim, Rabbi Itzchak Pettenberger pointed out that they're dependent one on the other, but what are they arguing about? Does the mitzvah meal exist when it's dangerous or doesn't it? What are they arguing about? So Rabbi Yochanan suggests in two places, both in the Kovetz Ha'aretz as well in the Kovetz Shiurim, he suggests that perhaps it depends on a well-known machlekes rishonim that's quoted by the Rosh Masechtas Yuma. When pikuach nefesh pushes aside one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, so is that considered to be hutra or is that dechuya? When there's pikuach nefesh, do we say that the mitzvah doesn't exist anymore because it's too dangerous to do it? Or do we say, when there's pikuach nefesh, that you have to prioritize your life, but the mitzvah still exists? You're still doing an iser. You're licensed to do so, but the Yisr exists. So do we say, no, it's Hutra. The Torah never gave the mitzvah under these kinds of circumstances. And that's a big machlekes in the Ravid and the Marami Rutenberg with regards to Shabbos. They're discussing over here, Chayel she'yesh v'sakana. A chayel who has sakana, him lo yechal basar. If he's not going to eat meat. Im yesh l'fanav nevela, if he has before him a nevela. So what happened? We're discussing a chayla on Shabbos who needs meat, and there's no kosher meat available. I don't know what kind of chayla needs a fillet, but whatever. Some kind of chayla must have meat. Okay, but there's no kosher meat available. So what are your two options on Shabbos? I could shecht an animal and make kosher meat, violate Shabbos. I could feed him nevela meat. Oh, which is better, violating Shabbos or feeding him nevela meat? Says the Ravid. Better to violate Nevela, which is only a lav, rather than to violate the Isser Skila of Shabbos. That's a good cheshbon, right? One is a lav, she'en bo skila, the ein bo misa. One is a lav, she'yesh bo misa. Which one is a less lav? Nevela. Now, the truth of the matter is, it's a little bit worse because you're doing many Nevelas, right? Every bite kazais you eat is another lav. Sheish b'malkas. Shchita, if you shecht once, you only did one aveir. So it's many small aveiras versus one big one. But in the end of the day, a small aveir beats out a big one. So that's what the Ravid prefers. Says the Marami Gutenberg, Heishe b'tshuva al zeh, Kevin shetira Torah b'kuach nefesh, the Torah when it comes to Shabbos was mati b'kuach nefesh, havikol malach ha-shoyitza b'shabbos b'shkol sheish b'zakana ki wasol b'chol. It's hutra when it comes to Shabbos. Almost no Shabbos goes by that there's no Hatzolah call. I don't think there's probably ever been one, right? Since they've established Hatzolah, I doubt that there's been throughout nationally. I doubt there's been one Shabbos with no Hatzolah call. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew when he gave Shabbos that there's going to be life-threatening situations every single Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew when he gave Shabbos that it's not going to apply to certain Shabbosos, to certain individuals, because it's going to be Pekuah Nefesh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave Shabbos under these circumstances. So it's Kiyu HaSol B'chol. Of a nevela, you don't never have to eat nevela, right? Okay, nevela, hamaychol atzmo aser. It's not duchu, it's not hutra. When it comes to Shabbos and mikuach nefesh, it's open floodgates. Shabbos was never said with regards to chayli. Nevela, You don't necessarily have to eat a nevela. I don't know. We probably could go years without a chayla eating non-kosher food. There's no reason that a chayla would have to eat non-kosher food. So non-kosher food was given to a chayla too. This is the circumstance. It happens to be that a chayla needs non-kosher food, but that was never envisioned necessarily from the outset. So that was dekuya. There's a conflict. And the chayla takes precedence for chay ben boshi yamas ben, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a conflict here of values. This one trumps. This one takes precedence, but it's there. Shabbos and Pikuach Nefesh, no, it's Hutra. Every Shabbos is going to be Pikuach Nefesh. Obviously, the Kodesh Baruch Hu never gave Shabbos with regards to Pikuach Nefesh. So maybe that's what the Rishonim here are arguing about. Rishonim are arguing about is Pikuach Nefesh with regards to Mila Hutra. You know, Mila was not given whenever there's a situation of Pikuach Nefesh, or maybe Mila with Pikuach Nefesh is Dechuya. There's a conflict. Pikuach Nefesh takes precedence. Nah, but the mitzvah Mila is still there. Maybe that's what they're arguing about. Is it Hutra or is it Dechuya? I don't find that so compelling. But Yosef Engel suggests in the Asma Deraisa, so perhaps what the Rishonim here are arguing about is really a different issue. This, I think, is a little bit more on target. They're arguing about whenever you have an oinus, that you can't perform a mitzvah, are you really chayiv, just it's too much to expect you to do it? Or do we say, whenever there's an oinus beyond your control, you're just potter? Nafkamina. A guy's in Inus, he can't daven mincha. If it happens to you more than once, you're not an Inus. You're just lazy or lack planning. Okay, but an Inus! I don't know, a guy's running around all day from Pikuach Nefesh to Pikuach Nefesh. He's on Hatzalah, this, that. A guy's Oisik B'tzarchit Tzibur Mamish Menayoyim Adalaila. Unable to daven mincha. He's in a meeting about Hatzalah's Nefoshis all day from 12 o'clock till 6 o'clock. No time to daven mincha. An oinus. Does he have to daven tashlumin? Marv twice? What do you say? Depends on this. If he's an oinus, means the mitzvah just doesn't apply to you, you're an oinus. So no tashlumin. If oinus means, no, you're right, you took precedence, the Atos Nefashos takes precedence over davening mincha, but at the same time, there was a, the mitzvah, mincha got pushed aside. Justifiably so, but even though you're an Inus, the mitzvah still exists. Or do we say, since you're an Inus, the mitzvah's gone? So this is a machlekes between the Taz and the Drisha with regards to a person who's an Inus wasn't able to daven. They're working off a Sifin Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Avelos, because there's a certain halacha, le'aleinu, a person loses a relative. So calls man that the relative has not been buried, you don't daven. Called an oine, and he's pater from all mitzvahs in order to focus on the kvura at hand. If he's not in the same country, he's far away, he's not going to have anything to do with the kvura, you never know, he might get called to give a hesped or something. So you never know, even if he's far away, he's still an oine. He might have some involvement. You have to be on call to take care of the kvura, the mesa mutul defanav. Okay. But what about after they bury the mace? Let's say they bury the mace 2:30 in the afternoon. He was an Ayin, the guy passed away at night, Chatzoy Salayla. Comes 2:30 in the afternoon, we finish the Kfura Har Menuchas. Do we have the guys, now the Aveilim are going to daven Mincha? Do they have to daven Tashlumen for Shachars? Answer is no. No Tashlumen for Shachars. He was Potter Mamish in the morning. So says the Drisha. Don't you see from here a guy who's involved in Atzalos Nefashos, a guy who's in a meeting in the yeshiva, whatever we discuss here in the meetings. It's not the case. The meetings here were a waste of time. But Rosenzweig once told me he had a choice, either a root canal or meeting. And he chose the root canal. Anyway, okay. So by the meetings here are not that important. But we discuss things that are important. Nothing ever gets done. But so... But let's say a guy's in an important meeting. Pater from Da'am Mincha. Isaac Petzachet Zibor. Says the Drisha, no Tashlumen, just like the Yainin. And it says, and that's what the Drisha says. The Taz says, what are you talking about? They're not the same. They're not the same. He says, look over here, four lines from the bottom. The Tomani, Im Yotu Dvar Me'u Mipiv. Did he really say that? Da'ain Hanidon Dvar Me'u. What does an Yainin have to do with the guy who's Isaac Petzachet Zibor? The Davka. I could daven the Avelos, Hilchas Avelos says, don't do it. I'm busy doing something else, so I'm an oynes. Yes, but you're still chayiv. That's the shail over here in Mishonim too. A guy's an oynes because of pikuach nefesh. It's not hutra. Shabbos maybe is hutra. You can't have a Shabbos without pikuach nefesh. Every Shabbos is pikuach nefesh. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Shabbos, he understood there was a carve out, an exception for pikuach nefesh. Not every mila, you know, is there pikuach nefesh. No, it's not hutra. It's tachuya. But what do we call that? When I have a pikuach nefesh, I have an oynes, I can't perform a mitzvah. Am I exempt entirely? No tefilas tashlumen. The mitzvah mila doesn't apply to me. I'm not an oreo. You don't have to try later on in life because you're an oynes. Or do we say no? Even when there's an oynes, you got to daven tashlumen. You're right. You did what you were. You, what takes precedence? You addressed that which you know you had to do. You took You took care of pikuach nefesh. But the mitzvah still exists. It's still an oreo, unfortunately. Person, according to the Rambam, has to try first mila later on in life because the mitzvah is still there. Even though there's an oynes and you can't do it, the mitzvah is still there. So when the opportunity presents itself, you might have to daven tashlumen. If your opportunity later on in life presents itself, you got to try it then, even though there might be a minimal amount of danger. And by the same token, Rashi says he's still considered an oreo, can't partake of carbon pesach or bigol regal. And maybe all of this comes down to that chakira that Yosef Engel suggests in the Asvin Deiraisa. Maybe it has to do with this machlokes, the Taz and the Drisha. Okay, Chavra.